take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Title of our thoughts tonight, The Gospel of Christ. The Gospel of Christ. Romans 15:19 says, I have fully preached the Gospel of Christ. Gospel. If you look it up under Zondervan's Bible Dictionary, you'll find that the word gospel comes from the English derivative of the Anglo-Saxon Godspell or good tidings, and is a literal translation from the Greek euangelion. Did I do that okay, Pastor Stephen? Euangelion, meaning good news. The gospel is good news. Someone has said, though, it is only good news if it gets there in time. And it's amazing how many people in the world today still need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Someone as well said, why should anyone be able to hear it twice before everybody hears it once? Well, the fact of the matter is, for most people, they need to hear the gospel more than once. And that way they can know what they're believing. If you look up the word gospel in Webster's dictionary, it means the message of Christ, one of the first four New Testament books telling of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Another thought for the gospel is something accepted as infallible truth or as a guiding principle. And maybe you've heard someone say that, oh, that's the gospel truth, because they're saying it is, without a doubt, the truth. But if you look at the book of Matthew, it was written to confirm Old Testament prophecies. The book of Mark was to record facts. Luke, which was written to the Greeks, added details to the book of our gospel of Mark. And John, written to the world to teach Christian doctrine. But if you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, begin reading at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Shall we have a word of prayer? And dear Heavenly Father, it is so good to be back here this evening and having the Word of God as it is read and as we talk about it. Lord, we just pray that you would be with our number, be with those that are watching and listening. May it be of encouragement to them. Be with our church, Lord, and Lord, may we be stable and may we want to serve you. And Lord, may we be excited about Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Point number one, the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The preaching of the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The preaching of the gospel of Christ. We are told to preach the gospel. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. To preach the gospel, to make sure that the word of God is being proclaimed, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And it's good to have mission outreaches all over the world. If you would, the book of Mark chapter 1, and yes, we'll be turning to a number of portions of Scripture this evening. I'm glad to tell you that I'm a Bible Baptist. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Messenger before thy face, which I lay before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus Christ. He is the main theme of the gospel, and he is the main theme of our church. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In the New Testament, the term gospel is applied to the revelation of God's plan for reconciling man to himself by forgiving his sin and by transforming his character. Because sin separates, and sin separated us from a good relationship with the Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ was willing to come and to die that we could have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so the preaching of the gospel is the story of God's gift of salvation through the person and work of Christ, which the church has been commissioned to proclaim. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Point number two, the subjection unto the gospel of Christ. The subjection, being subject to or dependent on. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we are in subjection to our Lord, but we are in subjection to the gospel. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 13, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorified God for their professed subjection under the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The impact of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ compelled his disciples to present his message to the public. Today, the message of salvation still compels churches like ours to proclaim the Word of God, as one has said, from cover to cover. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, book of Ephesians chapter 3. The Word of God is special, and the gospel is even more special because of the fact that it talks about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. But Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is the one that we proclaim. This is the gospel. This Jesus, the one that we love. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. My pastor in Texas, Reverend Alvarez, often said that the only Bible some people read is your life. And I would add, what version are they reading? Are you living a life that is bringing honor to the Lord? And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We need to make sure that we love the gospel and that our lives are right and proper and are examples of the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Point number three, the co-workers of the gospel of Christ, the co-workers. And we'll have you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll read two verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ, we're in this together. What's that old saying? United we stand, divided we fall. We're in it together. A fellow is a friend, a companion, an associate, a partner, a fellow traveler. We are fellow laborers for the cause of Christ. Timothy was sent by Paul to strengthen and encourage the believers there in Thessalonica, which at that time was the largest commercial center in southeastern Europe. And he took the thoughts that Paul had given and he went with that. The gospel of Christ, fellow laborers, working together. Point number four, in defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Your conversation, your lifestyle. They lived in a very pagan world. There was lots of religion, but there wasn't a lot of godliness. In our world today, there's a lot of religion, a lot of false religions, a lot of false teachings. But the fact is, we need to defend the gospel, and the number one way to defend it is by our lifestyle. Living a right and proper life. Conversation is a lifestyle. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Again, familiar scriptures. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Sometimes when I read some of these descriptions that the Apostle Paul uses, I think he's talking about our day and age, because we are living in a day that is evil. And we need to walk right and proper. Circumspect means to be cautious, watchful, careful, guarded, vigilant, prudent. This is what we need to be as believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." You know the words. "As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching," exhorting to advise strongly, to urge earnestly, to caution, to warn. We need to come together and serve the Lord, serve the God, or the Christ of the gospel. Which brings us to number five, the perversion of the gospel. If I were to ask you, is there an enemy of the church? You would say yes. If I were to say, is there an enemy against every Bible believer? The answer would be yes. And they take shots at the gospel. In the book of Galatians, we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. We find that there were those who had come to Galatia, and they were trying to change them, to change their gospel. And Paul's going to be a little bit upset with them at the beginning of his letter. And let's read what he has to say, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul writing says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." He says, what's wrong? I've showed you the truth. I've given you the prophecies from the Old Testament and that explain the coming Messiah and how that Jesus was the Messiah. And now what has happened? He says, "I marvel that you have so quickly turned from him." Verse 7. "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." One of the issues we have in our society today is that there are so many people teaching us so many different things. But the truth is found in the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to understand it. It is why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There is only salvation through Jesus Christ. It's not through any good works that we have done, but it is through our faith in Jesus, who did the work. He paid the price. We are redeemed through his works. It is why the Apostle Paul encouraged him not only to study, but he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So study the Word of God. Know the Word of God. If they come knocking at your door, know how to defend the Word of God. Study it. Paul to the church of Corinth talks about those that would hinder the gospel message. They try to water it down. We have a lot of watering down of history today. We have a lot of watering down of our society. And some would have said that we have become a weak society, that we expect too much from other people, that we have our hands out too often, expecting someone to put something in it. Well, the fact of the matter is that the early Christians had a hard life, but they remained faithful because they studied the Word. The Bereans were in the Word daily. Others studied the Old Testament to make sure that what they were taught was true. And we need to take time to study the Word also. Unfortunately, this could, how do I want to say this? Those that hinder the church become a bad testimony. And they injure and damage the testimony of the church, of Christ, and the Word of God by their lifestyle, by their language, and their lack of support. And I'm not talking about financial support. I'm talking about their being part of the work, working together, fellow laborers. And so there are those that will pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you take your Bibles in conclusion to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turning to a couple of my favorite verses, verses 3 and 4. I remember one day I was at the boys' dorm there in Arlington, Texas, and I was washing my clothes. I remember I was about to go to Texas, and my mother said, "I better teach you how to wash your clothes." And my mother did say that, to wash your clothes. Okay? There is an R in wash. But I was waiting for the clothes to dry. They were had been in the wash machine, and now they were in the dryer. And I'd gone out behind the dorm, and I was sitting on a rock wall, and someone had carved in the rock wall 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And I remember sitting there reading it and thinking to myself how very true it is. The need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul, writing to this church, says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In a world that is seeking peace and comfort, we have the truth. We have what they need. It is Jesus Christ who loves us and cares for us. He is the Savior. And if our gospel be hid, if we don't share it, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We stand firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. But if you cannot say tonight that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or that you hope you will go to heaven, may I say you can know for sure that you're going to heaven? The Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But thankfully, it doesn't end there. The Lord saw our need, and Jesus Christ came to die for our sins so that we could have salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. His desire is to see souls saved. Peter tells us that he is long-suffering, not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his desire. Our Lord has no desire to send anybody to hell. His desire is to see people saved, to spend eternity with him. And that's why we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Shall we close with a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come thanking you for your blessings. We thank you for the salvation that we can have through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy, your love, your patience. And Lord, we just thank you for that unspeakable gift that is given to those who will accept. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.